Right, good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Chav Dalet in Avodah Zarah. We begin at the top of the Amud on Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. And a little bit more today about Revia, Mishkav Behema. The second parak seems to not want to get off this topic. Okay, and that just is wonderful. The discussions we had so far, past couple of days, has been the discussion of how much do we need to concern ourselves with the Yetzer Hara that the Avodah Zarah have for Revia, for Mishkav Behema. The Mishnah is very clear about how concerned we need to be, because the Mishnah says you can't even park your animal by the Avodah Zarah, because they're just so entrenched in Mishkav Behema. It's too tempting for them, and you are in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michshol, and that's the Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the second parak. Good. But then there was a Braisa on Chav Beis Amud Beis that says that if you want to buy a carbon from a non-Jew, that's fine. You don't have to worry about Revia, you don't have to worry about you don't have to worry about Muksa or Nevad. These are none of these things you need to concern yourself with. And so it seems from the Braisa that Braisa says, generally speaking, you don't have to worry. So to this, it's a steer between the Mishnah. The Braisa and the Gemara had three basic approaches. Approach number one is that there's a difference between animals that are owned by us versus animals owned by them. Revia, bestiality, sterilizes an animal. If it's a girl, it sterilizes her. If it's a guy, it weakens him. But it does something. It physically damages the animal. So if it's theirs and they own it, so they will be inhibited from from having relations with their own animals because of the financial loss. However, if it's ours, there's not much of an inhibition. I guess maybe getting caught, but that's not much of an inhibition. That's answer number one. Answer number two, suggested by Ravina in the Gemara, is halachatchila habediyeved. Question of, do we need to worry about what happened in the past versus what's from this point forward? Right? So that's the possible resolution of the Mishnah and the Braisa. And finally, the third answer was Rabbi Pedas. Rabbi Pedas says, it's a machlokas tanayim. Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim, they argue about to what degree we need to concern ourselves. And this machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim is in fact the resolution between the stira of the Mishnah and the Braisa. Okay. Comes out, now where do we see this machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim? We see it from a Mishnah and Parah Duma. The Mishnah and Parah teaches us a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Lezer. Can I purchase my Parah Duma from a guy? Okay. Yesterday we ended off with the story of Dabman ben Nesina. Dabman ben Nesina was a guy. The Gemara in Kedushin says we have a lot to learn from him because he honored his father, and he honored his father even at the expense of losing money, significant money. He nevertheless still honored his father. And so you see from that story of Dabman ben Nesina that we did buy a paraduma from a guy. So according to the Chachamim, they say it's fine, it's okay, it's not a problem. According to Rabbi Eliezer, he's of the opinion that you cannot buy a paraduma from a guy. There are two possible reasons, which we're going to discuss in just a moment. So, but you can't. How does he process the story of Dava ben Nesina? And the Gemara's answer, which is where we ended off yesterday, is it was toveled, if you will. Meaning that the animal started with Dava ben Nesina, sold to a Jewish middleman, then sold to the Beis HaMikdash. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, that will so to say make it okay. Well, I don't know how to say it. Cleanse the animal. Whatever. That makes it so that the animal is bought from a Jew and not from a non-Jew. Okay, good. That is what we learned yesterday, and we're going to continue today. Now, what's behind Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Eliezer says, I cannot buy a paraduma from a non-Jew. So the Gemara yesterday brought in one explanation of Rabbi Eliezer, and that is brought in the name of Rav Shila, Kedetani Shila. And he says it's all about the Pasuk Vayichu. The Pasuk says regarding the Paraduma, Daber b'nei Yisrael, Vayichu Eilecha b'nei Yisrael. And you have to purchase. And Vayichu could be understood on both the one who is purchasing and the one who is selling. Right? Kriyu Ksiv said Rashi in yesterday's daf. Right? It's Vayichu Vayakichu. Right? Something along those lines. And so therefore the Paraduma has to be bought by a Jew, obviously we're the ones using it, and has to be sold from a Jew. Okay, that is Rav Shila's explanation of Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara points out That doesn't seem to be the only thing that is behind Rabbi Eliezer's Shita. It seems to be that there's another issue going on behind Rabbi Eliezer, and that's the issue of bestiality, of revia. In other words, we know that once an animal is sodomized, it can't be used as a paraduma, and the Chachamim generally are not concerned with that, but Rabbi Eliezer is. So there seems to be another issue as well. Let's take a look at the Gemara. We're going to start inside.
Why don't you say that the case was Kondoma, right? You could have seen that he was a kid without legs. Right. So obviously, he was suspected. Of
okay, him. All right.
Another case, he would have been not to buy it.
Right. But Rabbi, it's a good point. I guess Rabbi Lazar is viewed as a more fundamental Shita, meaning it's low plug, it applies to everybody. Okay, it's not a bad suggestion. Okay, Rabbi Lazar, we are in the Gemara in Chavdal Amid Aleph. We're doing great in terms of where we should be. We are about 8 lines down from the top of the Amud. First word in the line is Abba, and the Gemara's answer is Hasam Ayidei Tigre Yisrael Zavon. It was done through a Jewish middleman, period. Gemara continues. Rabbi Lazar lo chayish le revia. You mean to tell me that Rabbi Lazar is not choshesh for revia? V'hatan you will learn a brisa. Amr lo le Rabbi Lazar ma'isav lachum and ovi kochav and v'dam shemo. V'amri lo ramatz shemo. So here we have a tosefta, and this tosefta gives us another angle perspective of this whole story of Dabba Menestina. First of all, the brisa says that we have two versions of what his name was. We have it as Dhamma. Every time it's brought down, the Brisa says another version is Ramatz. Okay, but here we are now going to see in the Tosefta an actual dialogue between the Chacham and Rabbi Eliezer, because the Chacham say to Rabbi Eliezer, how could you possibly say that we're not allowed to buy the Paraduma from a guy? Right? Don't you see over here that we do? So Am Alehem Rabbi Lazar Misham Raya. So Rabbi Lazar says that's not a proof. Yisrael Hayu Misham Moso Mishash Enolda. And Rabbi Lazar's answer is from the time that the animal was born, there were guards placed over the animal. Period. Right. That is the end of the brisa. Now, what do you see from Rabbi Lazar's response? If the whole issue is the way Sheila explained it in yesterday's daf, if the whole issue is I must purchase it from a Jew and not a non-Jew, I don't need guards. Just simply, in other words, the moment that we discover the existence of the paraduma, so they'll go to Dhamma Menestina. They can't buy directly from him, so they'll sell to a Jewish middleman, and the Jewish middleman sell to the Beis HaMikdash. But over here, listen to what Rabbi Lazar is saying. He's saying, oh, don't worry, we put up shomrim to make sure that the animal is okay from the time that it's born. It's clear from Rabbi Eliezer's response that his concern is a concern of revia. Right. Has to be. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer taught to Islay, Kicha v'chayish na'me l'revia. So the Gemara says, fine. Zeh v'zeh. They're both correct. Both the position that Rav Sheila explained that you have to buy from a Jew, that's a correct position. And Rabbi Eliezer also concerns himself with revia. And once an animal's nirva, it cannot be used for the paraduma, and so therefore that's a concern as well. And so therefore Rabbi Eliezer has to be concerned himself with these two considerations. And so now we're going to put together, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the full story. The full story, which actually, believe it or not, we don't even have the full story yet, but we got most of it. The full story goes like this, that the moment that this animal was born, this paraduma, so Beis HaMikdash was alerted, sent Shlichim, right, some sort of agency down to Dama's farm, Dhamma ben Nesina's farm, watched the animal, protected the animal, guarded the animal so that nobody would have had relations with the animal. So the animal's not disqualified. According to Rabbi Eliezer, that was necessary. And then on the actual sale, so it was sold through a middleman so that you satisfy the pasuk of Vayikhu. Okay. We almost got a complete story to how this went down according to Rabbi Eliezer. By the way, according to the Chachamim, none of this was necessary. Because according to the Chachamim, they're not worried about Revia. According to the Chachamim, you don't have to buy it from a Jew. So they are of the opinion that story basically the same story, but no guards, and you just purchase it from Dhamma himself without a middleman.
Why do you need a guard? Once you know that there's a paraduma, you just take it from him right there and grow it.
But you can't take it from him. It's not ours. It's his.
Right away.
Why didn't they? Right.
You guard him for a few years.
Right.
Or a year or whatever.
Correct. So that's a good question. I'm thinking, and this is me thinking, so for whatever it's worth, I'm thinking that maybe over the course of its life, it could develop black hairs. And so even at that point in time, you don't know if it's going to be okay for the paraduma. But that's a suggestion on my part. I don't know. Right? Possibly.
What obligation the goy has to come and inform the Beit HaMikdash that I have a red cow?
Money. They get paid a lot of money. Amar Mar, Yisrael Hayu Mishamer Moso Mishasha Nolda. Benechush Dilma Rave Le'ima. Kihava Ma'abra. So the Gemara says, now, let's work with Rabbi Eliezer. You're worried about Revia. Okay. You know what you need to be worried about? In utero. When this paraduma is in utero, if the mother was sodomized, that will disqualify the fetus in utero. Okay? The Amarava, Vlad Hanogachas Asura, he uvlada nakho, Vlad Hanirvas Asura, he uvlada nirvu'u. Okay, the halacha is, Rava says, that when you have a fetus in utero, now this is a general discussion throughout Shas regarding a fetus in utero. One position, which seems to be the Gemara's position over here, although the Gemara does not pronounce these words, is ubar yerech imo. That the way we view a fetus is that it's a limb of the animal. Right? Obviously, it's going to be a limb which eventually will be detached. That's called birth. But up until that point, it's considered a limb of the animal. We know that when an animal gores, for example, so every part of the animal is goring, right? Every piece of mass of the animal is part of the goring. That's simple physics, right? Force is mass times acceleration. In this case, deceleration when it gores. But right, if the fetus is considered a limb of the animal, so then the limb is also part of the mass that did the goring, that did the negicha. So Rava just simply puts everything together and says, good. So now that you know that, you'll now know that the fetus, even after it's born, is part of the negicha. And therefore, just like the animal itself that was nogeach, what happens to that animal? Has to be put to death. Same thing is true regarding the fetus, if you let this animal give birth. Right? Which, presumably, you shouldn't even do. But if it does give birth, the fetus also has to be put to death. The baby has to be put to death. And the same thing is true with revia. If the animal is pregnant, so and the fetus is a limb of the animal, so just like the animal now is disqualified as a carbon, if it was sodomized, the fetus in utero is also disqualified as a carbon, right? Now, what active participation did it have in the revia? It's a limb of the mother. Fine. This is all the opinion of Rava. If that's true, so the Gemara now wants to flesh out, like, full out this picture, according to Rabbi Eliezer, don't you need guards from the time that the mother is pregnant? So, Ema, you saw, you mishamar maso mishash shen notzra. So the Gemara says, okay, fine.
Wait,
the Gemara's next question. Right, yes.
Sorry, no, but then you can see the mother and the grandmother and the
Gemara, two questions from now.
Oh, okay.
Okay, fine. Anyone else? Okay, let's go. So, v'nechash dilma ravua li'ima mikara. So the Gemara says, okay, you're worried about the fetus in utero, so therefore we're going to set up guards from the time that it conceived. Gemara now is saying, according to Rabbi Eliezer, because remember, this whole discussion is going according to Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you need to put up guards earlier. Even before this animal gets pregnant, you need to put guards up and make sure this animal's not sodomized. I know that did not, because we learned in the Mishnah, it's a Mishnah in Temura, called Apsulim Legabi Mizbeach, V'ladosei Mutarim. If let's say you have an animal that's disqualified, fine, and then the animal gets pregnant and gives birth, what is with the child, right? So the Mishnah says the child is mutter. The fetus, the baby. The baby of this mother, even though the mother is disqualified, the baby is mutter. Utani Allah. And on that we have Rabbi Lazar Oser. Rabbi Lazar says, no, I disagree. The fetus is Oser. And again, remember, this whole Amud of Gemara is all Rabbi Lazar. So now we know that according to Rabbi Lazar, once the mother is disqualified, the fetus is disqualified, the baby is disqualified. And so, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you need to set up guards, not after the mother got pregnant, even before the mother got pregnant. So Hanichal Rav Adam Rav Amar Rav Nachman. Now, when we get to tomorrow, we're going to have this discussion, and that is a machlokus between the Tanakam and Rav Elazar regarding the offspring of an animal that's disqualified. Machlokus kishenir v'kishen mukdashan avakshen chulin devar akol mutarit. According to Rava, if the mother's disqualification came before the mother was even a karban, so then it's fine, meaning that her offspring will be acceptable according to both opinions. So then that's fine. But according to Rav Nachman, he's of the opinion that the offspring is going to be disqualified whether the mother was disqualified before it became a carbon or even after it becomes a carbon. So then according to Rabbi Eliezer, don't you need to set up guards to make sure that the mother of the paraduma is never been sodomized? Ema, so the Gemara says, fine. Yisrael hayu mishamer masah le'ema misha shenotzra. So the Gemara says, okay, so according to Rabbi Eliezer, you know what happened? And I know this sounds fantastic, but you know what happened? So guards were set up to protect the mother of the paraduma from the time that the mother was born. Okay? And so therefore we have now a security to know that the mother was never sodomized. Obviously those guards are going to stay there while the paraduma is, after the paraduma is conceived and born. And so that now we have, according to Rabbi Eliezer, shomrim, to make sure that the paraduma was not sodomized, the mother was not sodomized, neither during her pregnancy, neither before her pregnancy as well. Venech, just one second, that question is coming up. Venechish doma ravula ima di ima. Gemara says, okay, but let's just keep going back. Grandma. How do I know that Bubby, I don't want to say it that way, that's not right. How do I know that grandma was not, the grandmother was not sodomized? Kula halochai. She in the Gemara says that's already too much. Even according to Rabbi Eliezer, that's too much. We don't need to be concerning ourselves with that much. Amar, you saw you mishamar so mishar shenotzra. Menayid inan. So the Gemara says, now everyone's been asking me this question. It is the correct question to ask. Can you forecast? How can you prognosticate and say that this mother is going to be give birth to the paraduma? Historically, a handful of paradumas are born, and they knew that Dama Benesina's cows are going to give birth to a paraduma. That's amazing, a little too amazing. So Amrav Kahana Kosa Dama Avir Lefaneh B'Shah Sha'ola Aleh HaZachar. He did the Lavan trick. No, I'm sorry, not the Lavan trick, the Yaakov trick. Right, Yaakov was with Lavan, but it's I gave credit to Lavan, right? It was right. If it wasn't for Lavan, it's the Yaakov trick. Remember when Yaakov was given all these, the shvach animals, and Lavan says, "Look, you get to keep all the shvach animals, and I keep all the good ones." And Yaakov performs some sort of, I don't know what to call it. It's a tough parak to go through in Chumash. It's just you don't even understand what's going on. But while the animals were mating, so he showed some sort of spots in front of them or some sort of stripped wood in front of them. And they all came out spotted and striped, right? Here too, you want to make a paraduma, it's so easy. Just try this at home. put a red cup of, I don't know what it is. It doesn't say. It doesn't matter. Put a red cup of a drink of red cup in front of them while mating, and that'll produce a para aduma, and that'll produce a red car. A red car. Red cow. Okay. My ability to speak today is amazing. Yes.
Why would it be red?
Okay, that's. Oh, hold it. The Gemara's going to ask you a question. So the Gemara says, and why are they any different? Meaning, now that we know the secret to making a para aduma, so why don't we all do it? Why don't we all just make a para aduma? And I guess you can add to the question of the Gemara, why is it so expensive? Right? If this is something that everybody could do, so now supply goes up, and supply goes up, the price should go down. Right? That's the only thing I learned in economics. But anyway, Amar Rav Kahana bimuchzekes. So Rav Kahana says, no. The animals on Dama's farm had a proclivity towards issuing red offspring. Right? Rashi says, bimuchzekes. I did?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, thank you. You're right. Okay. No, no, you're right. So let me go back. The Gemara's question. Thank you. It wasn't my question. Thank you. Amai dameh yikarin. So why is it so costly? Thank you. Because two black hairs. Two black hairs is all you need to disqualify it. Everybody can make red cows. Not everybody can make red cows with no black hairs. Black hairs disqualified. Umayshna did who? And again, why did they go to Dama's farm? I'm Rav Kahana ben Muchzak. Rav Kahana says Muchzak. As Rashi writes, Min mishpachos paros hayulo l'dama ben Nesina Muchzakos l'yaled v'lados adumim ba'avaras kos. Not the first time the red cup worked for Dama ben Nesina. Dama ben Nesina had the formula down to a science, and so therefore he was able to produce paradumas, and that's why the Chachamim sent people to Paras, to Dama's farm early on, because they know that he's got it down. He knows how to do this. Okay.
That's why he didn't want to wake up his father for the money. But think of that.
Right.
He's got his cows. They're going to
make. Right. We'll just wait. We'll just make another one.
I had somebody there 24/7 to watch this guy for.
Right, that's
night also.
Right, huh?
At night also, the guard at night.
The guards, right, so according to Rabbi Eliezer, the guards were there for years because they didn't just guard the animal, they guard the mother.
I guess this is really what they mean when they talk about liquid investments.
I apologize. Steve, you have to remember, everything we discuss is recorded and listened to internationally. So it's good. I'll give you good credit if you know, but you gotta sharpen those jokes a little.
Yes.
No, I don't edit it. No, I should. I know. Yeah. Yes. Yosef Rav Ami, Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, Akilah de Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, Pasuk Chaminah v'Amar, Vechena Yer Rav Lazar, Posa B'chula Karbanos Kulan. Okay, we're gonna chazar over that which we already saw. Rav Elazar is of the opinion that he's worried about Revia, which means that, according to Rav Elazar, you can't buy an animal from a non-Jew, because the concern is that the non-Jew, the Ovid Kochavim, is Rovea the animal, and that disqualifies the animal for carbon. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, earlier when we went over this, the Chachamim said, there's a Pasuk in Yeshayahu. What are you going to do with the Pasuk in Yeshayahu? Now, previously, we left that question unanswered because it's a strong question. Here, the Gemara now is going to go back over the question, and the Amoraim are going to try to give an answer, right? It's great. This is instructive to us because it shows us that Rabbi Lazar just didn't have an opinion. He perhaps knew an answer. He may have not presented it, but there is a way to defend Shitas Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar's opinion is not to be just simply dismissed. So, V'chena Rabbi Lazar posed b'chol ha'kabon skulam pasach idach minah v'amar mayu suva le'chavru l'Rabbi Lazar kol tzon kei dayik b'tzulach. Okay, so what did they ask Rabbi Lazar kol tzon kei dar? Kei dar, as we already explained yesterday, is Yishmael. The animals of Yishmael, yik b'tzulach, will be gathered to you and offered as a karbon. And good. So the Pasuk in Yeshayahu is describing how we get animals from the Ovdei Kochavim. Amalam Rav Elazar Kulam Gerim Gerurim Haim La'asid Lavo. So Rav Elazar says that Pasuk in Yeshayahu is talking about the future. In the future, we will accept all of them as Gerim, and so therefore, you're making an assumption that's coming from a non-Jew. Not true. It's coming from a Jew. Amar Rav Yosef Maikra Ki Azeh Poch El Amim Safa Brura. So Rav Yosef says, yeah, Pasuk in Sefanya. Okay. I'm going to give everyone a clear language. The Pasuk is indicative of the fact that everyone will speak the same language, i.e., everybody will convert. So Abaye says, maybe not a full conversion. Maybe not. Maybe over there, that Pasuk in Sefanya is discussing how everybody will give up the Avodah Zarah, but not a full conversion. Rav Yosef says, no, continue, look further in the Pasuk. Everyone will be uniform. It's going to all be the same. Okay? And so therefore, the assumption is that everybody will in fact take on the mitzvos. Again, the Gemara now is going to go over this again. This is just an Ikadamr. It's a different version of how this is passed down. What was the question asked to Rabbi Eliezer? Umaykra, what is the pasuk that indicates that everyone converts? Kiyaza pochalamim safar bara likra kulam b'shem Hashem. They're all going to convert and call out to God's name. Maskev la Rav Yosef v'dilma me'avos kochav mehuda havdrebei. In this version, Rav Yosef is the challenger, not the defender. So Rav Yosef is challenging. Wait a second. Maybe they're only not going to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. No, it says La'avdosh Chem Echad, that everyone's going to convert. It's going to be a full conversion. Good. Period. Okay. So far, we have seen the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that we have to be concerned ourselves with Revi'ah, and therefore we cannot buy an animal from an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Who has a proclivity towards Revi'ah, because once it's the animal's Nirva, it is disqualified for the Mizbeach.
What if that last opinion assumes that all non-Jews will convert?
Even though there are other Gemaras that indicate that Bizman Mashiach, we don't accept.
That's clear in Machlokes.
Right. Tashma.
Just Rabbi Eliezer has to hold.
Again, this daf is dedicated to Rabbi Eliezer. In other words, this is all according to Rabbi Eliezer. Correct.
Couldn't you just say that it's not their name, quote unquote, going to convert to Judaism, except when a Mashiach comes and everybody recognizes the Sham, so they'll at least keep the Shem?
Correct. And right, it won't be. And, right, Steve, it's a good point. And one of the Shem mitzvahs Bnei Noach is Mishkav Behema. So, right. Tashma, Ba'ikach Yisrael, Chosein Moshe, Olav, Zvachim, Elelokim. Okay, so the Gemara now is going to throw out a number of challenges against Rabbi Eliezer. Now I skipped again. I'm doing great today. Meisvei, sorry. Second to last line of the page. So the Gemara says, the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Parshas Yisro. Sorry, no, this is not yet. We're not in Yisro yet. This is Vayera. Right. And Moshe turns to Paro. Moshe says to Paro, you're going to let us go for 3 days. We're going to go out to the desert. And we're going to offer some karbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not only that, Moshe says to Paro, and you're going to provide for us the animals. Okay, good. So there. By the way, Paro says no. Right? I think we all knew that. So v'yomer Moshe gamatati tem yadin zvachim v'olos kod matan Torah shani. So the Gemara's answer over there is, that's before Matan Torah, and don't bring me a proof or a challenge. Nothing from before Matan Torah. Okay. Tashma v'yikach Yisrael chosen Moshe olos zvachim l'alukim. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's turn to Yisrael. Okay, good. So it's a little further into Sefer Shmos. Now we're in Perek Yudches. Yisrael wants to offer karbanos. So the Gemara's answer is Yisro Nami Kad Matan Torah Hava. Okay, but that's Perek Yudches. What prakim are Matan Torah? Yutes and Chaf. Okay, fine. So same answer that we gave for Paro, we're going to give for Yisro. Not so fast. The Gemara says Hanich Laman Damer Yisro Kod Matan Torah Hava. El Laman Damer Yisro La Acher Matan Torah Hava. My Ika Lameimar. Look at the first Rashi on Parshas Yisro. So you also get this as well. When did Yisro happen? When did Yisro come with his family? Before Matan Torah or after Matan Torah? It's subject to a debate in the Gemara and Zvachim. The Gemara over here cites it. Now, Ein Mukta Mumu'ucha B'Torah, there is no chronology in the Torah. So the fact that Yisro is placed in the Torah before Matan Torah doesn't mean anything, right? Torah is not a historical account. Torah will take stories and place them not in any type of chronological order. So that's fine. But there is a machlokas when Yisro happened. So if Yisro happened before Matan Torah, so fine, that's okay. But if Yisro, and there is a valid opinion that says that Yisro happened after Matan Torah, Ma'ikal Amemer, so what do you got to say? Ela Yisro, mi Yisro Zavan. Okay, so remember, we said, according to Rabbi Lazar, could be that Yisro it went through a middleman and went through a Jewish middleman. Okay, fine. One thing which is always interesting to discuss, when we have this discussion of Ein Mukta Mamucha B'Torah, which is what we're having right now, So you always have to ask yourself the question, fine, chronologically this is not the way it occurred. Yisro came after Matan Torah. Good. Why did the Torah then decide to take the story and tell the story before Matan Torah? Right? It's always a reasonable question. And the Rishonim were always bothered by this question. Here's a great example. And you see Tosos right here on this page. First Tosos on Chavdal Amud Beis. Look at the end of the Tosfos. Ve'afilu mandar malachim mantara ba, tzakasha lama nichtava parsha zulakan. Right? Good. You see Tosos asking the question right here. So why tell the story before Mantara, if the story happened after Mantara? Contrast, says Tosfos. Meaning, right, follow your parshios. We get to the end of Bishalach. What happens at the end of Bishalach? So Amalek. Right, Amalek happens. So here you have a non-Jewish nation who is interested in nothing more than our destruction. Okay, and the Torah wants to then juxtapose right next to that Yisro, meaning that Yesh v'Yesh. Some of the Umos HaOlam are interested in our destruction. Some of the Umos HaOlam are interested in our betterment. So we can't make any sweeping generalization. Yesh v'yesh. There's this group, and then there's that group. So Tosfos says it's a form of contrast. Okay, even though Yisro happens later on, but that's the Torah is trying to teach us the lesson it's trying to teach us by putting the two of them together. Right. Back to the Gemara. Tashma, second line down from the top of the page. Vayar Meshal Me'am Malek Heviyam Asher Chamal Ha'am Al Meitav Atzon VeHabakar Leman Zvorach LaHashem Elokecha. Shaul made a terrible mistake. Shaul, when taking care of Amalek, didn't take care of Amalek. He let the animal survive, and Shmuel went to him, and Shmuel said that was a big mistake. And Shaul, in his defense, trying to justify his action, said, "Oh, the animals were going to offer to Hashem." Okay, so that's not a problem. According to Rabbi Lazar, what kind of defense is that? Right? And animals from Amalek. I mean, so the Gemara, right? So the Gemara, in defense of Rabbi Lezer, says, "My Meitav de Mei Meitav." Well, this is now what Shaul is saying according to Rabbi Eliezer. He's saying, well, we're going to sell the animals, and the proceeds of that sale are going to go to the Mizbeach. Okay. The Gemara says, then it doesn't make sense then that you get Meitav. If you're just taking possessions to sell, it doesn't have to be Meitav. So the Gemara says, yeah, it still has to be Meitav, because you want to sell these animals, and the better quality of the animal, the quicker the sale is going to go down. Okay. Tashma. More questions against Rabbi Eliezer. Vayomar Arvana
al David yikach v'yal Adonia Melech hatov be'enav re'ea bakar la'ola v'hamorigim uchlea bakar le'etzim.
Right, the story goes that because David took a account of the Jewish people, so he was punished, and part of the punishment was that thousands of Jewish people died. And finally, after the at the end of this plague, so David finally offered karbanos, and he offered karbanos in the house of Arvana. Okay, Arvana, who was not Jewish, lived on the place where the Beis HaMikdash ultimately will be built. And one of the things that Arvana himself did is he also offered karbanos as well, right? He was so happy that the karbanos were brought on his backyard, so he brought karbanos as well. So he says, I want to offer karbanos as well. So again, according to the Chachamim, that's fine. According to Rabbi Eliezer, how do you do that? How can you accept their animals? Amar Rav Nachman, and this is after Matan Torah, okay? So Amar Rav Nachman, Arvana Ger Toshav Haya. Okay, so Arvana was a Ger Toshav, right? Steve, this is what we discussed earlier. He's a Ger Toshav. Rashi says over here, he accepted upon himself Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. One of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach is not no Mishkav Behema. Okay, so with him we were confident. Right. So now, there is one of the things mentioned over here in this pasuk is Morigim. Okay? My Morigim. The Gemara says, what is that? It's a strange word. What does that mean? Amu'ula Mita Shol Torbil. Okay, my mita shir torbil. Gemara says, what's that? Iza de kurkasa de daishan. It's great. The Gemara settles on words that it understands, and meanwhile, for us, of course, we don't know what this means. So Rashi describes daf gadol ve'av ma'od. It's a huge plank, thick. V'rechav v'taruf be'begimos harbe. It has a lot of serrations on it. And it's used for threshing the kernels. Shema aviren alava behemos vapigimos nichnesu bedaish vatvua nechbetes. And so, with the force of this board that goes and the spikes and the serrations that are on it, so it goes and it threshes. Okay, it's a threshing board. Okay. I'm Rav Yosef Maikra, Hincha Samtich Lemoreg, Charutz, Chadash, Baal, Pipiot, Tadush Harim, Vitadok, Ugvaos, Kamots, Tasim. Good Pasuk in Yishayahu. Rav Yosef quotes it. Rav Yosef, by the way, is the expert on Tanakh. He writes a Targum on Nevim and Ksuvim. So you'll find very often throughout Shas that when quoting Psukim and Tanakh and trying to understand words, Rav Yosef is like the expert. Right, and so here he quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu. So we're discussing this morag, this moreg, and it has sharp edges to it. That's pipiot, tadush harim. It does disha, right? It threshes. Okay, good. Meis with the Gemara now goes back to Rabbi Lazar and has another challenge against Rabbi Lazar. So we go to the story of the Aaron and the Plishtim. Right, this is in Shmuel Aleph Perek Vav. Story of the Aaron and the Plishtim. Right, Tanakh. So the Plishtim captured the Aaron, and every place that the Aaron was amongst the Plishtim suffered terribly. Hemorrhoids. Right? Every place that the Aaron was. And finally, the Plishtim realized this isn't working out. We need to return the Aaron. Okay? And so they do. And so what they do is they strap the Aron on a wagon, and the wagon is pulled by two cows, and the cows were female nursing cows. And part of the reason why they got nursing cows is because they wanted to show how big a miracle it would be. Normally a nursing cow would not leave their children, and yet these nursing cows left the camp of the Plishtim in order to take the Aron over back to the Jews.
Why did the Plishtim want to show up?
They didn't. They wanted to take the Aron, but then after all the suffering they went through, they realized it was a bad idea. They didn't. But what happens is that once the cows get back, and remember, these are cows of Plishtim, they offered the cows up as a carbon. Okay? Good. According to Rabbi Eliezer, how do you do that? These are cows of Plishtim. You're not allowed to do that. So Harasha Haisa. So the Gemara says Harasha. All right, over here, so many unbelievable miracles took place with these cows, like Harasha. Right, this was a unique and special dispensation. So the Gemara says because look, this for sure is atypical. Remember, these cows are females, right? They nurse, and they're bringing them as an ola. Right? Right, rule number one in the world of karbanos, right. Ola doesn't come from females. Right. Ola comes from males. Okay, that's a problem. So you're seeing clearly that this is all harasha. We don't follow the general rules over here with these cows who brought up the Aaron. So the Gemara says that when it comes to a Bamas Yachid, an individual Bama, you can bring a female as an ola. An individual bama does not have to follow the general rules of the mizbeach. It's evident from the story of Shmuel that he brought telech alav via alehu ola. So the Gemara's first response is vayaleu zachamashma. Yeah, vayaleu could be talking about a male, because in fact it indicates that Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak vayaleksiv. No, it's vayala. It was the animal was a female animal. Okay. Period. And so we'll come back to these cows in just a little bit later on this morning.
Why don't they discuss the case of, like, I mean, early we learned that you know, the only requirement for an animal offering by non-Jews is that it has the legs should be intact.
Right.
So why were we not too concerned about this reality?
I'm also bothered by the general issue that we've learned many times throughout the Gemara that Goyim can bring karbanos as an adava.
So why are we concerned?
According to
maybe it's different if it's their korban.
I'm not sure that
it's still going into the Beit HaMikdash as an offering. I mean, the requirement that the animal should be
okay. Same question. I have the general question also. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Vayel. I'm sorry. Rav Yochanan Amar. Okay. Gvul Yeshla. Okay. It's not a new discussion, but it's kind of a qualification on what we discussed earlier. We said earlier that when an animal is sodomized, so it becomes ne'akeres. It becomes sterilized. So the Gemara says, Gvul Yeshla. Not always. There is a demarcation in the life of an animal. Pchusami Baz Gimel Shanim, Ne'akeres. Baz Gimel Shanim, Eina Ne'akeres. Depends. If the animal is under 3 years of age, so then Ne'akeres. So then it will become sterilized. If the animal is over 3 years of age, Eina Ne'akeres, it does not get sterilized. Which means then that after 3 years of age, there would be, even according to the Chachamim, no inhibition over the Avodah Zarah to have relations, to sodomize the animal. Okay. Eisvei kohani tiyufta, shani lohu, p'chusmi bas gemo shanim. All right, but we've seen a number of instances where we are worried about Mishka Behema, so the Gemara, I'm sorry, where we're not, yeah, where we're not worried about Mishka Behema. So the Gemara says we're all talking about animals that are under 3 years of age. Animals are under 3 years of age, ne'akeres, and therefore the non-Jew will not sodomize his animal. Okay. Tashma ve'esaparos ha'alu ha'olah la'ashem be'pchus ha'mibas gimel shanim. Gemara tries to ask from the two cows, and the Gemara says no, the two cows were under 3 years of age, and that's why we're not worried. Okay. I'm sorry. Maskel v'Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Nasan im kein hainu v'es b'neim kalu b'bayis. The es b'neim kalu b'bayis. So p'chusam ibas gimel shanim. The Gemara over there says less than 3 years. I'm sorry. P'chusam ibas gimel shanim mikal yalda. Sorry. Right. Animal under 3 years of age can give birth. V'hatnan. We learned in the Mishnah b'choros. Par v'chamor ibas gimel vada lekom mikam ve'elach safek. The Mishnah in Bechoros teaches us that when you have a cow and you buy it from a non-Jew, and your question is a real simple question. Does this cow ever give birth? Meaning, you just bought a new cow, and it gives birth. That animal is a Bechor, not a Bechor. Now, you can ask the non-Jew, and he'll give you an answer, but, right, do we trust his answer? Is he, right, maybe he's lying because he wants that the animal never gave birth, and you know, it's in order to fetch a higher price, and okay, all that. So the Mishnah Bechora says that if you buy an animal within 3 years of its life, you know that it didn't give birth, because animals within 3 years don't give birth. Fine. Ala machvarta kedashina miikara. So the Gemara says, fine, you're absolutely correct. So basically, the Gemara says, scratch it, meaning everything we just said doesn't seem to be correct. Animals do not give birth within the first 3 years of life, and so therefore, we're going to go back to what we said originally. Tosos over here, 1, 2, 3, three tosos him down. Parvachamor bashol sham vada lekohen. Perish the kodem shalosh vada lo yalda. Right? Simple pshat in the Gemara is that before 3 years of age, animals don't give birth. V'yesh litmo d'hamasa b'chol yom d'par b'ashtei shanim yoledes. Tosha says, I don't know what the Gemara is talking about. It's the Mishnah, actually. I don't know what the Mishnah is talking about. Animals give birth within the first 2 years of life. Okay. Now, it's great. If you're a farmer, by the way, like, immediately this question should jump out at you. You know, for us urbanites, like, you know, I would have learned the Mishnah Bechorus and I would have just nodded my head. Yes, correct. Animals don't give birth within the first 3 years of life. But Tosfos points out, however, we see it differently. The world Tosfos seems different. V'yeshlam ha-devad de'ata nishtana ha-eis. Mikamosha haya bedoros harishonim. You hear this a lot, but it's good because I pointed out right here in Tosfos. So nishtana ha-teva. Nature has changed. Meaning that bizman ha-mishnah, animals did not give birth for the first 3 years of their life, but then over the course of generations, nature is subject to change, and therefore our animals do in fact give birth earlier. It's not a stira, it's just things change.
It's interesting because for humans it's the reverse. Yet girls giving birth at the age of 8, remember?
Correct. And nowadays it goes the other direction. Okay, let's finish up. We have a little bit more to go before we finish up today. What were the cows doing? So it sounds from the pasuk, these are the two cows that led the Aron back from the Plishtim back to the Jews. So it sounds from the pasuk that they were singing. Yep, cows were singing. Singing cows. Rav Zutra, Rav Zuvya, Amarav, Sheyishru Peneim Keneged Aron. They turned and they faced the Aron, meaning they're walking one way, but their heads were turned so that they would face the Aron. You see, many people are very careful that when the Torah is taken out, they never turn their back to the Torah. Right? You should always be facing a Sefer Torah. Right? When you step away, I always get so nervous watching these people do this, but when you step away from the Aron, you go down the steps, so you don't want to turn your back on the Aron, so you walk backwards. It's right. It's definitely it's praiseworthy, but just here, right, just be careful. The cows had their faces facing the Aron. My penem keneged Aron va'amru shira. So according to Mar Zutra, both, right? Both is correct. They were facing the Aron and they said shira. My shira amru. So which shira did they say? Okay, so here, multiple positions, multiple opinions. Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Meir, Az Yashem Moshe, Uvnei Yisrov, Rav Yochanan Didei Amar, V'amarta Miyam Ahu, Hodu Al Hashem Kiru B'shmo. See Rashi, by the way, Rashi tries to explain a number of times why specifically these Shiros. Rav Shimon Melakish Amar Mizmor Yasma. Rav Shimon Melakish says, he said the Mizmor Yasma, the orphaned Mizmor. Rashi points out that this is Perek Tzadiches, I mean, you could see on the side of the Gemara, Perek Tzadiches, 98th chapter of Tehillim. The orphaned Mizmor. Why is it called the orphaned Mizmor? Rashi writes, Shalu Huzker Shem Omro. Because in this Perek in Tehillim, it doesn't tell us who said it. Right? Many Prakim in Tehillim say Mizmor of David, or Mizmor of Nekorach. Here, it doesn't tell us who said it. Tosfos is bothered by that. Of the 150 prakim of Tehillim, this is the only perek?
No, because Moshe has like 10, but some of them don't have Moshe's name.
Ah. So perisha kunshe shlo huska shem ha'omer, v'kash, it's the last Tosfos on the page. Da'akama mizmorim yesh kayotzi bo, mizmor lasoda, mizmor shirli am ha'shabas, shlo huska shem ha'omran. So Tosfos says, I don't understand, there are many prakim that don't have authorship assigned in the perek. V'nir lafarish, shekra lo yasma mishum shlo huska aman ne'emar. Right, in the beginning words, it doesn't tell us what it's saying, what it's talking about. Like, it doesn't give us a headline. Come on, Mizmor Lasoda, Shemefar Shanasalam Ralatoda. Chay Mizmor Shulayam Hashavas, Vafa Pishiesh, Yoshev Beseser Elyon, Ashre Aish, Hashem Alach Eslavesh, Shalahuzgra Manasa, Mekomakom, Inkasav Behem Mizmor. In other words, this is the only parak in Tehillim where it starts with the words Mizmor, and that's it. And we don't know who said it. We don't know what it's talking about, and this is the only parak. Yeah, you'll have other parakim that don't have a headline, but don't open up with the word Mizmor. This is the only parak, 98, that has Mizmor, but then doesn't tell us who said it or what it's talking about. Okay, that's why it's called Mizmor Yasma. Parak, anyway, back to the Gemara, parak 98. Rav Lazar Amar Hashem Malach, Sorry, I did skip again. Amar Mizmor Yasma Mizmor Shilah Hashem Shir Chadash Kineflos Asau Shir Lo Yemina Zro Kacho. Rav Elazar Amar Hashem Malach Yir Gizu Amim, nations will shake. That's referring to the Plishtim, I guess. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmini Amar Hashem Malach Yis Lavesh. Rav Yitzhak Nafcha Amar Roni Ashita His No Fifi. Berov Haderech Hamechushakes Berikmi Zahav Hamehulala Bidvir Armon Omifoara. Okay? Many references in this pasuk to the Aron. Shita is the wood that the Aron is made out of. Ravashi Masni Allah Lahad Rav Yitzhak Ahava Yibin Zar Aron Vayam Mashakum Hashem Vayaf Kuma Hashem Yisrael Mai Amru. What were the shira that the Jews were singing when the Aron was being brought in? I'm Rav Yitzhak Roni Roni Hashita, this pasuk that we just quoted. I'm Rav Kaman Karu Parsai Safra Devir. The Persians, when they refer to a sefer, so they use the word devir. Where do they get that from? Mehacha v'shem devir lifnim kiryat sefer. The city kiryat sefer was also called devir. Okay, and that's why Persians, when they want to describe a sefer, they'll call it devir. Rav Ashi Amar Mikan Karu Parsai Lenida Dashtana. The Persians, when they talk about a menstruating woman, the word that they use is dashtana. I'm afraid to ask. No. Okay, that's enough. Mehacha kiderech nashim li. Okay, good. And that's why the Persians refer to the menstruating woman as dashtana. Good. Stop over here. Tomorrow pick it up at the top of Chafei Amud Aleph.